Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Congratulations to all of you who helped, donated money, stood in front of Walmart's, talked to your pastor to get 131,000 signatures into the Secretary of State's office. Congratulations. That's 55,000 signatures, more than we needed. And Lord willing, the Secretary of State will certify those signatures, and we will be on the ballot. Colorado will be ground zero for the fight against the killing of unborn children nationwide. In fact, the eyes of the world will be here. William Wilberforce, the activist in England who fought for, almost 30 years to outlaw slavery there in England, his great-great-grandson, Wilberforce, sent an email. He's talked on the phone to the campaign manager, Keith Mason, and he sent Keith an email after the news came out that they got 131,000 signatures, and he congratulated Keith, the Colorado for Equal Rights campaign, and said, this is the way my great-great-grandfather would do it. This is exactly what he would do. He would work to establish personhood, to explain to people that this is a great moral evil that we need to stop. And so slavery is down, the Holocaust is done, and now abortion. So two down, one to go. Slavery, the Holocaust, two down, one to go, now abortion. We are going to need help over the coming weeks. We have some special projects. Now today, Fred Williams is not in the studio. Fred, where are you? Fred Williams, he's the webmaster for the Creation Research Society, and he also has a fabulous website, evolutionfairytale.com. But Fred has, his schedule has changed, and he has been my co-host for Real Science Friday programs we've done, and in a couple minutes, I don't know how I could do this flying solo. Do a Real Science Friday show without Fred Williams. I don't think it's possible. But I'll try. And Fred, if you hear this, please hold your criticism. Don't be too rough on me. Because there is a creator, and he made us, and that's why there's a right to life. If we are just atoms and molecules, one arrangement of atoms is not better or worse than another arrangement. Right and wrong only come in if you're dealing with something other than the laws of physics. The laws of physics, atoms, molecules, they have no perspective from which to address the issue of right and wrong. There are no laws of science that use the words right and wrong. It's not there. So there is a right to life of the unborn because they are human beings made by their creator in his image and likeness. That's why there is a right to life. So in a couple minutes, I want to take a stab at a Real Science Friday episode for today's show. But first, I want to let you know we could use some help in a couple ways. We have some projects that are local that we can do local to, you know, the BEL cabin is nestled in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, west of Denver. And that's where we have our studio, the Bob Benyart Live studio. And our website is KGOV, KGOV.com, which, by the way, KGOV is going to get a bit of an update in the next couple weeks. So we're excited about that. And so is our website for Denver Bible Church. That's going to be new within a week or so. But we have projects that if you're local to the Denver area, we could use your help. If you're able to travel, like out of state from Colorado or out of state, wherever you live in the country, we could use your help. And if you're able to work from your home on the internet, if you can make a commitment, say, of 5 hours of time, over a period of a week or so, we can use your help. Now, we have very important projects to accomplish, and we need manpower to do them. We need money, of course, but we need manpower, and you could be a part of that. So you could call if you'd like. Let's say you think you could help on the internet, and we have very specific, you know, like people say, retire, work at home, stuff envelopes, earn $20 an hour, earn $80 an hour, and it's just a scam, right? I found that out when I was a teenager. You send in your $20 and you get a letter in the mail and they say, here's how you make money stuffing envelopes. You put an ad in a newspaper and the ad says, in the classifieds, and the ad says, earn $40 an hour stuffing envelopes. And when people write to you, then you put this letter in an envelope and you send it to them and you take their $20. I mean, it's this huge scam, right? It's a scam. But it's an appealing scam because people like the idea of working at home, at work. Some people work and they have downtime, like a security guard, downtime. You got to make the rounds once an hour and then you're downtime. Or secretaries are busier than I am. Somebody who's a receptionist, you might have downtime and you're on the internet or at home or at nights or on the weekends. And you could put in 20 minutes at a time, a half hour, an hour here. If you could make a 5-hour commitment on the internet, all you need is internet access. You can be a very important part of some upcoming projects. Very important part. And so if you think, you could think it through. And of course you could call Bob Enyart Live. We're always here, 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-800-836-9278. And you could say, you know what? I'm available for local projects in Colorado. Or I'm available. What do you have planned, Bob? I'm available. I could travel. I have a flexible schedule. I could get on a plane. I could drive, you know, to another state. I could spend a few days away from home. I can do so. What do you have planned? I can't tell you right now. Or I could work from my home, or I could take a half hour here and there at work during my lunch break, during my breaks. I could do something on the internet. Bob, what are you talking about? What is there to do? Well, we're putting together a team, and you don't need any special skills. You just need to know how to get on the internet, and that's about it. And we need help. We need help, and you'll see if you become a part of one of these teams, you'll see how extraordinarily powerful, how wise, how effective this will be. So, all right, we just got a call from Longmont. Now, that wasn't the purpose. I wasn't trying to get calls on the air. But now Scott doesn't have to come on the air, right? No. So we got a call from Colorado, Longmont, Colorado, and he said he'd like to be on the list to for the internet work. All right, so that's the first person. Okay, we need more, but thank you, Scott. That's the beginning. And so you could call us here at Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278, or you could call Colorado Right to Life. You could speak to Donna at the office there. And poor Donna, boy, has she been busy. The last 2 years has seen so much happen in the pro-life community here in Colorado. I mean, 1,100 volunteers actively fighting abortion just in the last 2 to 3 months. It's unheard of. Nothing like this has happened in almost 20 years in Colorado. It's extraordinary, very powerful. So thank you all for helping, and If you want, you could call Colorado Right to Life. Say, Donna, please put my name on a volunteer list, and I could come out for a local project, or I could travel out of state. And by the way, if there's something out of state, we won't send you off anywhere alone. It'll be a team, and I'll be going along also, and we'll have fun. Now, believe me, we'll have fun, and it'll be powerful. So, 1-800-8-ENYART is the number here at Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-836-9278. And the number at Colorado Right to Life is 303-753-9394, 303-753-9394. And if you call Donna at Colorado Right to Life, or if any other volunteer answers, you can say, I heard Bob on the radio, Bob Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T. I'd like to be one of the local project volunteers or an out-of-state volunteer. I'd like to find out about taking a trip out of state with Bob to go work on a project for a few days. Or I'd like to be an internet volunteer. I could make a commitment of 5 hours of my time on the internet. And by the way, you could email also. You could email office@coloradorighttolife.org. office@coloradorighttolife.org. Okay. So now creation. There is a creator. He is our God. He made us in his image and likeness. And that's why there is this extraordinary difference between human beings and animals or plants. God made us. He filled the world with an ecosystem for our enjoyment, for our benefit. He provided plants that we could eat. I mean, imagine that. Plants that we could actually eat. And not only do they sustain us nutritionally, they taste good too. And in the summertime when it's hot, you have 1,000 different kinds of fruits come ripe. Luscious, juicy, fabulous, fresh fruits. And just to everyone's taste and 1,000 options. And they go well together. And you could eat them or drink them or freeze them. And it's all fabulous. And you could put them in other dishes. And that's just fruit. That's just fruit, what God has done for us. I mean, God loves us. And so there are some people who think, oh, no, all that oranges and coconuts and strawberries, it all just happened. Plums, food comes in individually wrapped servings. Bananas, comes with its own serving, comes with its own packaging. It's just extraordinary what God has done for us. We say, oh, no, that all happened just by chance. By chance, really. There's some animals that they produce drinks for us. Drinks. You milk a goat. Well, I don't know. I don't drink goats. I would. I just don't. It's not at the store where we shop, but a goat produces milk that people could enjoy, or a cow. Oh, I know there's a lot of health food folks out there who get upset at me if they hear me saying you could drink cow milk, but that's only because that's the common thing. If everyone drank goat's milk, everyone, if that's what our society did, all the health food stores would sell cow's milk, and I'm not making that up. I mean, that is an absolute certainty with no possibility of any room for error. That's a 100% certainty. If all the grocery stores sold goat's milk, the health food stores would sell cow's milk, and you could take that to the bank. Anyway, and it would cost twice as much. But the point is that God gave us these things. Now, because of the fall and sin and degenerative disease, and we are not evolving, we're devolving, we're getting worse. And so because of all that, you know, some things that milk and honey that should be good for us make us fat and rot our teeth. So, yeah, there are problems with sin, but even through the curse and the punishment of the global flood and the destruction that came as a result of Adam and Eve sinning and the thorns and thistles, even with all that, we could still see the glorious hand of God in his love and care for us. And that's why it's wrong to kill a child, because God loves that child. He made that child. Well, actually, he made Adam and Eve. He created Adam and Eve, and he gave us this awesome ability to procreate. And when we do, human beings can do something that angels can't do. We could procreate and bring eternal creatures, little boys and girls, into existence. You know how people tend to like their own kids more than other people's kids? Is that true? Or am I making that up? Do people tend to like their own kids more than other people's kids? I say generally. How about your own grandkids more than someone else's grandkids? Yeah. The grandpas in the studio audience all said, yeah, thumbs up. So, yeah, you tend to like your own kids more than other people's kids. That's the way God made us, with this extraordinary passion and desire in a mom to care for her children and a dad. And then with grandparents, it seems to multiply their love for their grandkids. Well, God made us and gave us the ability to procreate, so these children, these tiny little boys and girls, come into existence, and you watch them as they grow in the womb with ultrasound and 3D and 4D ultrasound, and they're sucking their thumb and playing with their toes. When they're twins, they play with each other. They grab each other. If they're boys, they sort of wrestle. And then they're born, and you see how precious they are. And, you know, as they grow older, you cheer them on for different accomplishments. At first, everybody gets excited when they just go to the bathroom. That's the first accomplishment. Everybody cheers. It's sort of weird. And then they drink something, and then they eat something, and then they say, ugh, and everybody gets excited. And as they grow, you grow with them, and you're thrilled to see how God has put in a human being, he's programmed us to communicate and to have relationships and to have awe and wonder and curiosity about the world around us. And so we see this little child growing up, and we have a love for our child. Now, many human beings are broken. In fact, we're all broken at some level. But some human beings are really broken, and so they can't even connect with their own kids. That's really wicked. But typically, human beings have this great love and concern for their own children. And so we often don't think about God's role in that. As our kids are growing up and we fall in love with them, now the moms fall in love with them before they're born. You know, most moms. Dads are a bit more dense. You know, they have to see them, feel them, see what are they like, what do they do. Why doesn't he talk? All he does is drool. Why doesn't the kid talk? Hey, kid, what's your name? But anyway, the dad makes a bond and a connection with the child, and you grow to love the child. And we forget that God is watching the whole thing. God is watching this child develop, but he has this, like, a front row seat even in the womb. God sees the baby. You know, we don't want to hire somebody for a job until we interview them and we see, do you have a high school diploma? You want to be an architect? Do you have a degree? God doesn't need to wait until then. He gets to know these children in the womb from the moment they're created with an explosion, a blast of life, and there is a new living human being. And no, it's not the mother's body. How do we know that? Because the mother is female. And the child in the womb, half the time, is male. So the mother is not male. She's female. And this little embryo, this blastocyst, at those first moments, that's half the time it's male. So, no, it's not the mother's body. It's someone else's body. And when that little tiny, tiny baby is coming down the fallopian tube, it releases pheromones. What's a pheromone? Pheromone is a chemical signal from one individual to another individual in a species to communicate. That's how animals find one another out in the wild. And some businesses, they try to sell, like, fragrance and what do you call it women put on behind their ears? Perfume. But women wouldn't do that, but guys are weird. They'll mail order something from the internet or classifieds or something, and it'll say male pheromones, a chemical signal to attract a woman. And I don't know whether that works or not with human beings, but with the animal kingdom, that's exactly how it works. Well, and it turns out the embryo, as the baby is coming down the fallopian tube, it releases a pheromone, a chemical signal to tell the mom, Mom, I'm here. What are you doing? Don't you know I'm here? I'm hungry. Get ready to feed me. But if the woman believed the lie of Planned Parenthood and she was taking, let's say, the birth control pill, her womb has become a hostile environment and it's a chemical weapon to kill her child, and there are so many Christian moms, and even women who are not Christian, but who would never intentionally kill one of their own children, a boy or a girl. They have a little boy in them, and she's a woman, so she's not a male. And here is this little male coming down her fallopian tube, taking a journey his first week of his life, is coming down that fallopian tube, maybe 10, 12 days. Then he gets to the womb, and he finds out mom believed a lie from Planned Parenthood, and her womb has become a hostile environment, and that baby is killed. The baby's killed right then. Had a chance, had lived for 10 days, then it's dead. And mom will find out in heaven, if she's a believer, on judgment day, if she's not a believer, she'll find out here she thought she had 1.5 kids. Finds out she had 7 kids, and 5 of them were killed because she didn't bother to check for herself what this chemical abortifacient was doing to her and her children. And, of course, the overwhelming evidence that abortion leads to breast cancer, the number one avoidable risk factor, breast cancer, and so on. But look what we're doing to our kids. We don't even know them, and we're killing them. We're discarding them. Well, God is watching this child develop in the womb, and you know what? You know how you fall in love with a child when you have a kid? You fall in love with the kid, and you would do anything for the kid? I mean, would you sacrifice for the kid? Of course you would. Would you die for your child? Would you? If your child was at risk, would you die for your child to save his life? Of course you would. I mean, you wouldn't even think about it. You would die to save the life of your child. Now, if you're married, you and your wife, and you have a couple kids, and if you're all dying, husbands, don't even worry about it. Your wife is going to let you die. She'll save the kids. And that's exactly appropriate. That's the way God made her. Your wife will let you die, and she will save the kids. And that's what we want in moms. But, of course, we would sacrifice our own lives for our children. And here's God watching our kids grow up in the womb, and then when they leave the womb, and God is there with them. Psalm 139 is such a precious part of Scripture where God is the one. In the womb, God has designed every day, every bit of the development in the womb, God has designed the development of that baby. And God knew you when you were in the womb. God knew you. And so when God sees this child, he gets to know the child. And the child is innocent and pure, his spirit and soul. And God falls in love with the kid. God falls in love with the kid. And by the way, Judy Brown has a new website. You know Judy, a dear friend of Colorado Right to Life and American Right to Life. Her group is American Life League. And they're big and they're prestigious and they don't compromise. They're not like National Right to Life. They are committed to honor God and his enduring command, do not murder. National Right to Life is happy to let you kill a child whose father is a rapist and so on. They don't take a position on delicate issues like that. Anyway, Judy Brown has a new website, The Pill Kills, thepillkills.com, and she's a hero. But here in this Psalm 139, right? Psalm 139, in the middle of the Old Testament, we read about God, that God, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame, in the Hebrew there for frame, that's skeleton. Bones, your bones. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in my mother's womb. Now, there's a Hebrew idiom there, an idiomatic expression for the mother's womb, but it's my mother's womb. Just look at Job 1:21. So I was skillfully wrought in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Now, when was your substance there when you were yet unformed? Well, at the moment of fertilization, when the sperm comes in, there are dozens of sperm trying to get at the egg. And God has made the egg, it's a courtship, just like it is at the level of an individual. And then you have the cellular level, and then even at the molecular level, there's three levels of courtship in the bringing about the procreation of a new tiny boy or little girl. Three levels. First, there are dozens of men who would like to be suitors of one woman. But through one way or another, she ends up picking one. And then as soon as she does, and they're engaged and they're married, none of the others are welcome. And then, at the cellular level, there are dozens of sperm trying to fertilize one egg. And only one gets through. And as soon as it does, the cell membrane, the ionization changes, and all the other suitors are rejected. All the other sperm, that's it, it's over. Sorry, I chose him. And one sperm enters. And that sperm, then, that's the moment of fertilization. So your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. So the baby's body is not yet formed. It's one cell. But there, it's all there. The DNA is all there. The soul, spirit, it's all there. The temperament, the personality. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, the next 40 weeks of gestation in the womb, when as yet there were none of them. 280 days, God designed every day of the fetology, the embryology, the development of the baby in the womb. God designed every one of those days when as yet there were none of them, because that genetic code that God lovingly designed, it would spell out when the baby's skin cells would start to form, the largest organ in his body. When his heart would start to beat. You know, his heart starts beating before it's a heart. God is so awesome. Please help us, 800-8-NER, our website, kgov.com, and Maranatha Christian Center. We're going to have those guys in studio soon. They help so much with the personhood petition effort. May God bless you.